Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Morning, Eddie. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday.
You want to say that again for everybody? Where's the record button?
Where is it? I can't. With a red button that I've mashed twice a week for months, I cannot,
yeah,
obviously.
Right.
Annie F. Downs.
Fine.
Good morning.
Fine. Good morning. Welcome back to a new week. Welcome to a new week.
We're doing it. Also, fun fact, first day of fall, apparently, officially
I
today.
I know. I'm so glad for it. Except that also means that our time change is coming, but I think it's not till November.
Oh, have we talked about my inability to handle a time change?
No, we haven't, but guess who's not surprised? Me.
you know,
so,
that
go ahead.
I freak out and I wake up because, you know, I can't do time and directions. We've talked about this. So, I mean, it's not as bad since I don't have like an alarm, a Sunday morning alarm set to wake up and be at work. But
right?
Back when I used to have to like wake up and be at church, I would wake up 10 times a night checking my phone. I don't understand the time change. I always have to ask Brian, okay, so what happens tonight at 1 o'clock? Does it become 12 o'clock
or
does
it become 2 o'clock? Yeah, but in 2020, it doesn't matter, right? Because you just wake up and your phone has changed.
Yes, that is correct. But then, yes, so it's less critical now, but I just don't conceptually, I don't, like spring forward, fall back.
Yeah.
I can't.
That is literally righty tighty, lefty loosey. It is so easy that they already told you spring forward, fall back.
But I don't know what that means. So you're saying that so that at 1 o'clock it will turn into 12 o'clock at some point soon.
Yes, and my favorite joke is I saw someone on Instagram, one of those memes, say, "Let's just skip it this year. I don't think we need an extra hour in 2020.
Yeah, that's a great point. Can we just
can
shorten
we spring
this whole
forward
thing
in November? Oh.
Yes. Okay. So, yeah. So yes, but I like this time of year. It is getting pretty dark early and late, which is the only thing I don't like about all this. It's the only downside to me. I love the weather.
We had a long talk about it yesterday at the office because we're reading John Eldridge's Get Your
Wild
Life
at
Back.
Heart.
No, mm-hmm. Get Your Life Back. And he is, and the chapter we read this week was about getting outside. And so we had a long talk yesterday about like, okay, what's it going to look like when your working hours are the only daylight hours? And how do we still get outside? And how do we get our jobs done? And how do we trust that each other is getting our work done, even if someone goes outside from 2 to 3, you know? So we had a big, long talk about it.
I will tell you, I have actual fear about that. Not like, oh, I wonder what that'll be like. I have actual trepidation about that exact conversation because both darkness and coldness are not things that I particularly enjoy working out in. And
you've built a rhythm of your exercises outside.
And it's pretty critical.
Yeah.
Like I feel like the springs are going to all the springs are pretty tightly pushed inside this thing.
Yeah.
And if I cannot, I'm not by any means like avid runner, but during COVID, it's...
Okay, but can I just say to you, Eddie, that are not trusting yourself enough. You think if you pull out any of these springs that the whole machine's going to fall apart, as if you have not changed.
Huh. What do you mean?
I mean, you've done a lot of work mentally and emotionally around getting healthy physically. And to say that your exercise changing or having to adjust to inside will make the whole thing fall apart is to not trust the emotional and mental work you've done over the last 9 months.
Yeah. Well, then that's true. Cause then I do not trust that.
I know. I know you don't. That's why I'm saying I feel
true.
Some of that too, because I am months behind you, but I have also been an outdoor exerciser this summer and spring.
Yeah.
And so I feel some of that too, but I just want you to hear a friend say, the work you have done is not just physical.
Hmm.
The work you've done is in every area of your life. And when one of the legs weakens, the other two are still strong.
I only have two legs.
Emotional, physical, and mental.
I'm sorry. I'm too immature.
Sorry. Sorry.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I mean, I've seen that in some areas. So like relationship to food and stuff, that's changed pretty drastically. Yeah. And that's become much more. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't have a good podcast return for it. I'm just saying it to you.
This is just two friends really actually talking about something. Yeah. I'm just saying to you what I need to say to me is that the darkness is not going to change my health. I can adjust. Yeah. And that's what I said to my team yesterday. I was like, listen, we've built a rhythm since we started working from home March 13th and have been back in the office since July. And even since July, we have made priority to be outside, whether it's sitting outside to work or people going home early and exercising and then jumping back on and finishing their job. And so I think a lot of us who have found peace and respite from being outside fear that we might lose that if the winter comes in the days of possible more time at home because of illnesses.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's interesting. Yeah. It's also the stakes seem higher because of just this year of basically spending a vast majority of the year on our little piece of property.
Yes.
A vast majority. Right.
Right.
And, so it seems like the stakes are higher, but also like it worked out last year.
Uh-huh.
Like we figured I wasn't like, seasonal affective disorder last year. It was okay. And also I got to remember I live in Florida, which it's not like I'm bracing for a hard winter.
Right.
It's like 50. Mm-hmm. But there is for a Floridian, it'll be cold. But
yes.
Yeah, that's interesting.
My friend Joe said to me this spring, there's no weather you can't be in. It's just whether you have the right clothes for it. And I was like, that is very, because she lives where it snows and gets real, real. And she was like, get a coat. When I was like, what do I do? Yeah. And she was like, get a coat. And I was like, good point.
I told you about the first time I went to DC for a work trip.
Yes.
He's like, you don't have a jacket? I'm like, who brings a jacket? I'm from Florida. I have a jacket. And I really do. I have two jackets, like very heavy, medium heavy, and sweatshirt. That's what I have. I guess that's three.
Hey, I didn't even get to tell you about my weekend when we talked on Friday that we got to celebrate Mr. F. Downs' birthday, professional success, all sorts of things. It was
success.
A big, fun weekend with Mr. F. Downs. And we talked about you.
I interrupted. I thought he was retired.
He still works some and there can still. And yes, he's mostly retired, but he still does some work.
Okay. All right. So tell me all about it. So
it was great. We went to the lake house, as you know, and went to a dinner at a restaurant outside, which my family has not been doing. And so that was really fun. And it was just great. And mainly I'm telling you to say, I know how much you like Mr. F. Downs and the joy to celebrate him. And we got to all weekend. It was really fun.
I delight in him. And I delight also in, I think it will be so fun as a dad to have a child come back home. Like the idea of you somehow transporting yourself from city A to city B fully on your own and then showing up with your own bags packed, right? Yeah, like you're an adult person and just like showing up and being like, hey, that would be very moving.
It was very fun.
I feel like I understand. I feel like I'm going to cry a lot, especially as an older, like when the kids come home. And you're just like, oh boy, I can't say grace. I remember I was at my friend's house and his dad, they're like all the kids were back.
Yeah.
And they have a big family, seven of them, seven kids, all the grandkids were like, everybody was there, but they all live close to each other. And I remember the dad who was like, sweet guy and older, and he got up to say grace and he got like one word in and was just crying. And then you look around because you kind of try to get a temperature of what just happened and all the kids are laughing.
Yeah.
Because this happens every time.
That's right. So. And you're real moved by it and all the kids are
like, oh, this is beautiful. And you're like, oh, I see.
Right.
Big ups to Debbie, Wendy, Jody, Rob, Scott, Kristen, Becky, by the way.
Wow.
Those are my people.
That's great. What'd y'all do this weekend?
What did we do this weekend? I have a hard time answering that question ever. I feel like I have no memory. I'm so bad at that. How was your day yesterday? Lived.
Yeah.
What'd you have for dinner? I have no idea. I know I enjoyed it. Yes, we saw, I think we saw some friends. Oh, no. My brother and his wife and our niece, Isabel, came up and they hung out.
Uncle Jimmy.
Uncle Jimmy came up. And we just played. And then we were at the house all day and we just played and hung out and made tacos and were just with people and haven't had the feeling probably in 2020. And I'm going to just say this, love Uncle Jimmy, and Uncle Jimmy will understand this fully. But you know, like it's been a full long social day and somebody leaves and you're that feeling of like one person's doing the dishes, one person's cleaning up the teepee that they decided to make, one person's doing, and then the house is clean and it's like 6 o'clock and everybody's just like quietly reading and you're like, oh, we did it. We're socialed out.
Yeah.
I haven't felt that in a long time. So we felt that on Saturday.
That's and then great.
Sunday did walking church and TV church and all that stuff. So.
Oh, that's great. Did you get to watch Social Dilemma?
Annie, we watched Social Dilemma.
Did the girls watch it too or just you and Bree?
Oh, God. No. Oh, no. I'm sorry. We meaning Brianne and I watched it. No. The girls don't even really have a sense of what social media fully is.
Sure.
Hopefully by the time they get into the formative years of social media, that something's going to be fixed.
Yes.
I.e. the algorithm.
You'd hope so. For our friends that did not listen last week, we talked about last Tuesday this Netflix documentary called The Social Dilemma. And Eddie and I both said we would watch it sometime last week and we would talk about it today. So let's go.
All right. Do we want to talk about it on a content or filmmaking basis first? Because I have
fascinating. Let's start with the filmmaking. Have you already had a discussion with anyone about this?
No. Okay. But I have been, I'm ready.
Okay, great.
I watch constant documentaries. I've always got one going.
I did not know that about you.
Yeah, I love it. I can't get enough of it. I really am curious. The cut to the drama scenes.
Yeah.
Was jarring.
So there is the documentary side of it. And then they also have kind of a family acting, you're watching vignettes as you go.
I gotta also say, step back, sorry to break the fourth rail here. I'm just having a whole day right now. I'm just a little bit tired and just whatever. You're carrying this very well because I know that I'm not speaking in full sentences and I'm not at all thinking about podcasting right now.
You're doing great. I'm just helping people understand the two things you're talking about. And I also just watched it last night.
I would also normally be thinking about okay, I got to explain this. But this morning I'm like, to heck with it.
You're having, that's
watch
fine.
Your own documentary.
Yeah, that's right.
So the cutting to that family scene was jarring. Some of them were good. Some of them I thought were a little silly to prove a point. Uh-huh. But it was there was real actors in it.
Yeah.
The guy that played Pete Campbell from Mad Men is
Pete
in
Campbell.
It.
Do you know I'm watching Mad Men right now? And I was like, Pete Campbell?
No.
And
you're watching Mad Men?
For the first time ever.
You know this is one of my top three of all time.
I understand why. I get it now. I didn't get it. I get it.
We got to talk about this.
I talked to Mr. and Miss F. Downs about it this weekend where I was like, I'm having this moment when I'm watching Mad Men of those are my grandparents and those are my parents. I understand. I mean, my family is very different than what you see on there. It's not that they've had similar behaviors. It's that the time period, my grandparents were grown-ups in the 60s. My parents were elementary in the 60s. And it has been, it is fascinating. The whole show is fascinating. But we
got to get back to Mad Men because I have deep passion around Mad Men.
Okay, I'm making a note. Maybe we talk about Mad Men on Friday.
Yeah, the lineage of Mad Men. There's just a lot to that. It's an important show.
I'm making a note. So come back on Friday, you guys, for Mad Men. We're going to keep going on Social Dilemma. Yes, Pete Campbell.
Pete Campbell's on there. You know, there's some real actors. But it was just a fascinating way to position a documentary. It was also a little bit so there's a point in it where basically they're following a family and each member of the family sort of has their own interaction with social media in different ways.
Yes.
So the mom in this story is waking up to the fact that the kids are on social too much and and is trying to limit it and getting pushback. The daughter is having, and these are real things, right? But the daughter is, because she's on social, she's having, she's struggling with identity issues.
Yeah,
and
the middle school daughter.
She's being bullied. So it's social media bullying seeing through her. My favorite one though was the son who was radicalized into some sort of like nondescript, like local loud militia of violence. They kind of stayed away from. But I think my favorite part of it was it happened in like 9 seconds.
Yeah, that's right. He went from like taking a week off the phone to suddenly.
Suddenly he's in a militia. And I'm like, well, this was.
That was a quick turnaround. He's very influenced.
So that's all I have to say filmmaking wise. But I thought it was very good. And the guy with the red hair, and I'm sorry, I don't know his name. You really could have just had a speech by that guy.
Oh, yeah. One of the experts from Facebook, who used to work at Facebook, right?
Yeah. What'd you think?
You know, I think a lot of it, you and I did very, very minimal texting about this before now. And you made a really good point of like, yeah, it's what we have talked, you and I have talked about here and in real life. And what we know is that it just isn't great for our brains, the amount we're intaking. I don't think I realized one thing that the documentary does is it traces how intentional social media companies are about targeting us.
Yeah.
And I don't think, I mean, I know that you and I can, if I say peanut butter enough times in front of my phone, I'm going to start getting peanut butter ads. I recognize that happens.
Yeah.
But I don't think I realize quite how targeted we are. And I'll tell you the other thing that I would love for you to talk into as a parent is I had moments where I genuinely was praying for my friends who are raising middle schoolers and high schoolers. While I was sitting there, I was going, Lord, you got to tell them what they don't know, because this is too much for a middle school brain.
Yeah, I have nothing other than the same trepidations with you right now. I feel grateful that my children are young enough that they are not asking for it, aware of it, being peer pressured into it. Mm-hmm. We're still early enough in the curve that for our kids, I mean, there are some kids I know that are, I'm sure, of this age that might be on some form of social media, but for our kids and where they're at and their group of friends, this just hasn't really entered the desire yet. But I cannot fathom being a middle school, like having a middle school child, having a high school child. And the only comfort I take in it is that I also couldn't have fathomed changing a diaper 15 years ago and raising a baby. Yet somehow that worked out. You know what I mean? Like I started to know parents. So the good thing is, you know, my friend Joe, like Joe and Annie Farrell, these are people whose parenting of teenagers, I would say, okay, I don't know how to do this, but I know that they're doing it. And so I'm going to ask them, Joe, Annie, how did you, when they started asking for a cell phone in sixth grade, what did you do? Because so that to me is the greatest comfort, is somebody's traversing this. So
yeah, that's right. You don't have to go first on this. But it's not us.
Thank God I don't have to go first. This is a pretty well-worn path at this point. It's been around long enough.
Yep.
But at the same time, if I let the anxiety, the real anxiety, not just like anxiety that's out of nowhere, the real anxiety go, it's scary.
Yes.
Their access to their classmates.
Yes.
Like, I knew 10 people in high school. I said hi to other people.
Yeah.
And we walked around and would be in a class and make jokes. But when it came down to it, the only people I'm going to see on an evening or a weekend fluctuated in a group of about 10 of us.
That's right.
That was it. The highs and lows. And that was enough. The access and the location ability of everybody you know just in your high school blows my mind. And I don't know how they can possibly handle that. And I don't know how then access to the entire planet.
Like, two things happened to me. The end of my freshman year, they passed out yearbooks. And in the yearbooks were highlights from last summer. And there was a page of all the people in my class hanging out over the summer. And I had no idea. Last night I thought, that happens every day to high schoolers right now. And that happened one day a year to me. I knew one day a year what people were doing that were my distant friends, not my up close friends, my distant friends that were on the same soccer team as me, yes, or were football players and I was the manager or whatever, that I knew that way, but wouldn't have been hanging out with them on the weekends. But today, because of Instagram and Snapchat and TikTok and all the things, we aren't even talking about the political side yet, of all those things, those sweet babies feel what I felt one day, every day in some way or form. And I was like, I'm not strong enough. Same happened my senior year. I found out at our 10 year reunion, things that were going on my senior year between like classmates who were dating, yes, and I didn't know, and all this stuff. And I was like, I was left out of a bunch of things. I would have known that every day of my life instead of 10 years after it happened.
Yes, 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 yes. And so I don't think it's all evil. I don't think it's all bad, but it is certainly too much.
Yeah.
And here's what I know right now. I think the thing that I walked away from Social Dilemma really feeling was a sense of personal responsibility to get my own life in order. I don't know how to model this well for them.
Yeah.
I know I don't. Because I fully enjoy the Twitter jokes and I fully enjoy social media, but also I lived a full formative piece of my life up until deep into my 20s. I was not on social.
That's right.
So I just don't have the need for it that someone who is a native social media person would have.
That's right.
And I've got to realize, like, I don't model it well. So, you know, I am starting the process, and it is a process of closing down my personal Facebook account just because that's a thing. I just don't need it.
Yeah.
There are things that I will mourn. I will be sad not to see certain things, but I've either got to model boundaries and model how to like put a phone away. You know, I really set up pretty strict app limits or whatever it is.
Yeah,
screen time.
Me too. Yeah, I did too.
And
mine's
I can't
9
tell you
p.m. How, to 7 a.m. and it has changed my life.
And it it's shutting me down.
Yeah.
And I really, and so that has dropped off significantly.
Yep.
I used to leave my phone in my room or, you know, in my office. And now I've kind of like, it's always in my pocket. And you just, it's those things that I'm thinking, I don't know how to help them when they get to an age where they're asking for it, because I actually don't know how I've come to terms with it on my own.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
that's
so
important. That's good, Eddie.
So that's my first step is,
And I'll also mirror what you're saying and say, I think that's the right term. You said it's not all bad. And that is literally the thing. When I finished the documentary last night, I wanted to like preach. I wanted to like say to people, I mean, and I looked up the verse this morning in Genesis 50. It says it's this point where I think it's Moses. Oh, I'm not going to remember right. But the person in the Bible says, what the enemy intended for evil, God will use for good in my life. It's Joseph.
Yeah.
It's Joseph. Yeah. And I think that's interesting because he did not say what was created that the enemy was using. It's what the enemy intended for evil. And that whole documentary says this was an accident, but it has become a beast we cannot control. And so what I found myself saying back to that documentary last night is what the enemy is trying to intend for evil, I'm also seeing God use for good. And so we won't quit social media. We won't run from it. We will put boundaries around it and still be a part of, for me, still be a part of spreading the gospel using social media and bringing light and joy and peace to other people's lives through social media with really healthy boundaries. Like someone Saturday even said to us on Twitter, they were talking to both of us and they said, I know Annie normally isn't on social media on Saturdays. Great, great. No one thinks I'm being angry. No one thinks I'm being unkind. They just know I have a boundary about my weekends that I have to have a break because I can be so addicted to social media. So what the enemy is intending for evil, Edward Kaufholz, you and I are going to partner with God and use for good, but also with healthy boundaries that keep us from being enveloped by the thing.
When you preach, you use my full name.
Oh, I meant it. I mean, I've been lit up about that part of this. I stood up when the documentary was over and I was Marco Poling, two of my best friends. And I was like, what they did not know about my Jesus is that he will take what the enemy's intended for evil and he will use it for good.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that's it. I think that this documentary had a purpose, and it was to prove a very specific point, and that is it's bigger than you think. The algorithm is more deep than you think.
That's
and
right. They know more than you think.
You are the product.
Yes. So, oh my gosh. How about when they said that? It was toward the beginning, the line was, if you're not paying for the product, you are the product.
Right. And so...
To
me, a documentary is supposed to cover a one thesis. And the thesis of this was to help us understand the depth of the knowledge of social media, that right. This isn't just a free app you sign up for. And so to me, I'm like, okay, I'm well warned.
That's right. That's right.
But at the same time, I did not have the feeling afterwards of, all right, I got to shut it all down.
Me either.
Because I also think about, and I know I'm just throwing out random names, like J.C. Howard.
Sure.
He's an actual human friend who I have had breakfast with when I was in D.C., who I care about, and we know each other. And it was a purely social media cultivated relationship over years.
Yeah.
And that matters, because I will look forward to the next time we shoot a quick text, how you doing? Or I'm in DC for something and we get together. So there are things of this that are real.
Yeah.
To me, it was, I've got to prune that which is not real in this. And the low hanging fruit of that is amount of time spent and filling boredom.
Mm-hmm.
Like I got to either be bored or read a book or something, but just endlessly scrolling through, and I'm not being radicalized by social. I'm reading silly jokes and friends updates and news sources.
That's right.
It's filling boredom. It's mindless. So those are the low hanging fruit things that I realized like after this, I can prune. And then the other one was, hold on, I've got personal Facebook page, Instagram, Twitter, and I see all the same names on all of them.
Yeah.
Why am I curating four things? Certainly I can get rid of one right now.
Yes.
And so that was the other part of it. But I definitely think people should watch this documentary just to have this to me was social media 101.
Yeah.
You understand the good stuff. You understand the stuff about like setting limits for yourself. We've talked about this. That's in the popular lexicon. But if you don't understand the depth of the algorithm that they're using to track you, and this isn't like crazy deep state NSA stuff.
These are like the people who worked at Instagram and worked at Facebook.
Right.
I mean, the guy who monetized Facebook was like, yeah, we knew what we were doing. We knew that we could track what you liked and we could call advertising. I mean, it's very not political. It's very, this is just the stats of what we did. And now a decade, 15 years later, we have some regrets because the thing we created took on a life of its own that we did not intend.
Yeah, we've essentially, I feel like when I was watching it, it was like, okay, it's as if I've bought a brand new shiny car that I'm excited about, but I don't necessarily know where the gas and brakes are. This to me was like, this helps me understand all of the features of the car to make an informed decision.
That's right.
About how I can drive or not drive.
That's
so
right.
This gives you the full perspective, I think, of what social media is. Can I say something that was really crazy to me that I heard recently, though? You know how you said earlier that if you say peanut butter enough, all of a sudden your phone will start showing you peanut butter ads. The crazy thing that I heard a social media expert say is actually your phone isn't listening to you. The problem is it's so good at predicting what you're talking about is that it's hitting at the right time. So my phone isn't listening to me talk about wanting to drive a new truck. It knows that because of, that's what he said. He said, you know, he's like, You can make a case, and people aren't going to believe me. But he said,
they aren't
listening as much as you think. The problem is they're guessing better than you could ever imagine.
I can't be real. I'm trying it today with peanut butter. I'm just going to keep, there's no other reason that I would get peanut butter ads.
Screenshot me. We're doing science. We're doing Joseph and the amazing Technicolor science experiment.
That's right. My phone
experiment
is not on. It is right now. It is just sitting beside me and I'm just keep saying peanut butter. And we're just going to see what happens. Because I just can't believe that my phone would happen to guess. Because I'm also thinking of another food. And I'm going to think about that food. But I'm going to say peanut butter. And see which one they give me.
All right. I'm going to say David Blaine could do this. He could walk into your house right now and guess all of it.
Well, he has dark arts.
He has dark arts that I'm 1 million percent into. If that's the dark arts, count me in. I will watch that guy's YouTube video.
Floating away.
Don't even get me started on how.
Like the up. Like what was the deal with the, what's the magic of that?
We're at a half hour.
Oh, shit. You're right.
And as you can imagine, I have a pretty strong opinion on this latest David Blaine stunt.
I don't know anything about it. Do we need to talk about it Friday then?
Hold on. Pause the show. I'm typing David Blaine on list. What was the other thing?
Mad Men. I wrote it down.
Okay. You said it so defensively.
Yeah. No. Oh, I'm sorry. No. I'm here for you.
Annie,
a teammate.
Annie, I was just being sarcastic. You don't need to apologize. I was just being a jerk. That's what I was doing.
I was like, I'm sorry. I'm not defensive. Okay. Yeah. Because I really do want to hear your hot take on David Blaine because I don't care enough to have a hot take. So I'm very interested to hear yours.
You know, if there was a time to push the Jesse Carey button and have him just hop on a show real quick, although he would overtake. I can't even tell you the number of hours I've spent hearing him talk about David Blaine without letting anyone else speak. I'll never get those hours back. So maybe we'll just do 5 minutes of David Blaine, an appropriate amount of David Blaine talk, and then move forward.
Oh, man. His new podcast, The List It, is so good. I'm just loving it so much.
As another preview, he and I decided on what our list is going to be.
Because you're going to be on his show. So he and I listed Food Network shows. We ranked Food Network shows and HGTV shows and hosts. And y'all have decided on what you're listing on your episode of List It?
Yeah, because I kept thinking, and because Jesse's a real deep well
of
all pop culture knowledge. Yeah. And I thought, what do we have in common? And I realized the deep well that he and I both have in common is very deep. And so that's all I'm going to say, because it's his show to promote. But I'm very excited about
it. Have y'all recorded it yet?
No, I think we record next week.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, we'll just look forward to it.
Yeah.
Okay, Edward. Well, we'll just let people go on their merry way and we'll see him back here on Friday talking about at least Mad Men and David Blaine, maybe some other things.
Hold on. DoorDash just showed up with a case of peanut butter. I gotta get out of here.
If you end up getting peanut butter ads instead of me, I'm gonna be so jealous because I love peanut butter.
Or almond butter. Are you really actually like peanut butter?
Yeah, I mean, almond is my second choice. Cashew butter can stay away from me, but I love almond butter. I love peanut
cashew
butter.
Cashew butter can stay away from me.
I just don't have time for cashews ever. They are such a
You ever tried to make your own almond butter?
No, I'm sure you have y'all?
Yeah, we tried. It's harder than you think to get right.
Yes.
It's some things you're like, why haven't I been making bread all along? Like I can make a passing loaf of bread or pickles or things we've talked about. Almond butter, every time you're like, I'm going to have to choke this down. This is not good.
And for $3, I could have bought it at the store.
Yeah. And it's like, start with 19 pounds of almonds, then quite a bit of sugar. And then some oil and grind it all up. And then you're like, this still tastes like trash.
You got a cup of peanut butter or almond butter.
Like, you're like, and I've spent a lot of money on this. So I'm gonna eat it.
Yeah.
Oh, that'll do. That's a good show ending.
That'll do. All right, friends, go wash your hands. We'll see you back here on Friday.
Bye, buddies.